This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neej and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinnidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Maloni and welcome to our Tokelauan listeners and to everyone, Tunisian Footy, the number one spot for all the things Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name's Sam Wykes and alongside me is my partner in crime, Tinirau Arona T. Welcome back again for another jam-packed show.
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to you listening to Tunisian Footy. If you heard a kind of downer in Sammy's voice, he's lost his phone, so he's he feels a bit upset and lost at the moment with his other partner in crime, his life on his phone. But we have a huge show ahead where this weekend NRL is launching round one over in Las Vegas. What a crazy opening to a season. I don't think it's ever been done before. And we'll touch on them games and also a couple of others like the World Club Challenge over in the UK and then also the Storm playing the Knights over in Fiji. But speaking of Vegas, I've managed to get a hold of two of the bunnies.
Have you?
That are over in hopefully going to be joining us on our show
Vegas.
From Vegas. And we'll just ask Stop about their too. Experience. I know the games this weekend, but it's always good to know and ask questions about what is happening over on that end of the world. And we will be talking to a special guest, Lavinia Radhava. She is the first female to be refereeing in a World Sevens tournament over at Perth from Fiji. And we'll be hearing from her directly from Fiji. We're going around the world.
We are going. I tell you what, our first episode, struggling to get someone on. Now we've got 1,000 on there. How good's this?
One from Fiji, one from the US.
Yep, and then
I've got a couple of DJs on joining.
Carb experts.
Yep, carb experts
who are DJs. That's going to be interesting, that one.
A show that just keeps on giving.
Well, make sure you stick around because we have a jam-packed show, as I said before, including also, let's not forget, first round of Super Rugby.
I forgot.
Yeah, no, nah, you're right, mate. I know you do.
We've got to talk about rugby.
I thought you were talking about the downer. It was the Super Rugby. But we'll pump those tyres up. We'll get around that and we'll go through our knockout footy tipping from Friday. I got off to a flying start, but let's get into it with our moment of the week.
Moment of the week.
Well, Sammy, I did mention the Storm playing the Knights over in Fiji, but a couple audio clips that we have that you noticed on the socials.
Yeah, I thought it was some beautiful moments there with Big Tui Kamakamitha and some kids, you know, singing as well. I think that's a beautiful thing about when you take games over to the islands, you get that wholesome atmosphere from the local villages and the kids. So let's have a listen to the first one. Yeah, that was Tui signing some autographs for some of the kids there. As he's signing, shirt off, he's a big boy.
Yeah,
but it's
jacked.
Just all the kids just singing that nice, beautiful, I'm assuming it's a hymn, while he's signing all the autographs for the kids. Like, that was special.
All Fijians know how to sing. I wish God bless me with that voice.
And it's also good to see Tui joining along with the boys singing along with him. Obviously, he knows it well. He's back in the motherland. And, you know, his Melbourne Storm teammates and staff, they just would have seen Tui in a different light, where he's at home. This is him. This is where it all started for him. So I think that's beautiful to watch. As I said, the NRL are doing an amazing job promoting the game, making sure they get out to the people that matter, and that's the community, and really embrace it. So hopefully that's going to be an annual fixture for the NRL. Teams going to go play not only in Fiji, but get over to Samoa, get over to Tonga, get over to Cook Islands.
PNG.
PNG, of course. Well, they're going to get an 18th team anyway, so they'll be playing more often. Is that what we're hearing, T?
I don't know. Is that what you're hearing?
It's word on the street.
Hey, it's Payne Hussey from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Nation Footy.
Big Payne. Still can't believe we got him on the show.
He's a big man, isn't he? Anyway.
And we are starting with rugby.
Yeah, I thought, let's get, because it started.
You've got round one.
It makes sense.
Off.
It makes sense.
Off you go, mate.
Yeah,
off you go.
Thanks, T.
Tell
appreciate
us about all your smokies. Again.
The smokies. Don't worry about that one. Hey, let's kick off Super Rugby. The very first game. Oh, actually, we'll start off with some positive news as well. I mentioned Lalakai Fulketi, the Waratahs Tongan centre.
Centre, yep.
Yeah, had the neck injury at training on the Thursday before they played on the Saturday. He's been cleared of anything serious, and he's going to make a full recovery. Obviously, he's going to be sore still. So much love to you, Lalakai. Hopefully, we see you out on the field very soon. The Chiefs and the defending champs, the Crusaders, they kicked off round one, and that game did not disappoint. The Chiefs won in a nail-biter, 33-29, after having a pretty good lead and the Crusaders chasing them down. So Crusaders always known for starting slow, and they're going to be there or thereabouts towards the back end of the season. I think also for T, as you said, I had a few smokies, had a few predictions. I don't know what I was smoking, but that didn't come to fruition. What did I say for the Rebels-Brumbies game, bro? I'm going to go a bit more out there. I think the Melbourne Rebels will beat the Brumbies.
The Melbourne Rebels, who are struggling internally, will beat the ACT Brumbies.
My prediction is they'll come out the gate fast because of the emotions there, and then they'll fizzle halfway through the season once the weight gets too heavy.
Yes, so that was shared last Friday on our preview show.
Yep.
Where you gave us a few smokies.
Yeah.
The new segment of this show now is Sand Smokies. Because the Brumbies have gone out there and smoked the Melbourne Rebels 30-3.
Yeah, look, it was all sausage, no sizzle from the Melbourne Rebels. I just thought they would have come out the gate, as said, with emotion. Hey, you win some, you lose some. And I was on the wrong end of that prediction. But, you know, for the Melbourne Rebels, I just thought, you know, their ruck speed was slow in attack. Their lineouts, they were an issue again, like especially with the caliber of players they've got there. They should have been hitting those targets cleanly so the backs could play off quick ball and front foot ball off lineout time, that possession game. But it just didn't happen. They kicked a lot of possession away and just some basic skill errors that shouldn't be happening at that level. And you could probably say it is, you know, what we said earlier with the amount of pressure that's happening off field. Is it creeping into their preparation? Yeah, I'm not too sure, but I guess one player that it hasn't affected is our man, Big Rob Liotta, who we had on the show last year. He was outstanding.
Let's oge.
That's the one, Rob Liotta. Let's oge the Samoan, the big man. He's a leader.
Skipper?
He was the skipper. And even when the scoreline was getting away from them, he was still giving everything, like chasing down players, being the first to put his hand up for a carry, putting on some big hits. So he was solid for them, and they're going to need him every single game this year.
That's a big ask too, having to turn up every week for a team that's struggling, and being the captain as well. You know, there's a lot of weight on them shoulders.
He looked like he was embracing it too. He was smiling. He was getting up from rucks. Like he put a massive shot on. And like even though they're behind the score, he's just smiling, going, "Let's go again." He's probably saying, "Let's ouch again."
Yeah, yeah.
So he was outstanding for that game.
It'd be interesting to see if the Rebels do go down where Rob ends up.
I know
what club throws, if it's overseas or if he stays within. I hope he stays in Australia.
Well, hopefully he does too. The Wallabies, I feel like he's now finding his mark as the earmarked number 8 for the Wallabies that they so desperately need, someone like him. Another player that stood out in that game was Brumbies fly half, Noah Lolasile. Like he's only 24 years of age, made his debut for the Wallabies really early in the piece and probably scarred him a little bit, playing with the world on his shoulders, probably not with that freedom, but he had some time in France last year playing for Toulon during the World Cup. You know, always in a World Cup cycle, you get to go and get a short-term contract.
Mm-hmm.
That change of scenery, that different style of footy and probably having the Wallaby legend Stephen Larkin back as the Brumbies head coach, I feel like it's going to help Noah grow to new levels. Like he was pivotal in that game. They got the job done really. To be honest, they made light work of it in the end. The Waratahs, even though they improved on their trial form, the Reds were just too good. Like that game was 40-22, and we mentioned Hunter Paisami, him in the midfield. He was playing outstanding footy along with Jordy Pataia, the two Samoans in the Reds team, and they were pivotal. pivotal in that game as well.
I caught him, mate. I caught the Reds.
You did too, didn't you? That was your prediction.
Yeah, and one of your other Smokies, Western Force.
What was the score in that game?
Oh, the Canes, it looked like they beat them 44-14.
Yeah.
Great Smokey, mate.
I should have known that the... No, they're a Smokey against the Aussie teams.
Oh,
I
didn't say they'd do well Aussie against teams. Oh, okay.
The New Zealand teams. Bogey team, the Hurricanes. I don't think I ever beat the Hurricanes, so it's still continuing. But that game, you know, 44-14 to the Hurricanes over the Western Force. Plenty of improvement there. Moana Pacifica. We had Todd Aikifu talk about Havili, their 5'8", the Tongan 5'8", who he was interested in seeing carve up. He did the job there. Like, as in that first 60 minutes, he really directed the Moana Pacifica team, and it looked like they really understood their game plan. It just wasn't like, here, you hit up and try your best. They were actually getting to the right parts of the field. And another big player involved in that was Julian Savia, the Samoan bus.
Playing, yes, the bus.
Yeah. Playing in his unfamiliar position of 12, usually out on the wing, just bumping everyone off out there. But his work off the ball to be able to be a threat as a ball carrier, but also distributing, I thought he did a really good job in that midfield to change his game up a little bit.
Is that similar to league when you do get a bit older, you start creeping in infield so it's not as fast? Or is it different in union?
It might be different. Usually when you get older and you're not going to, you just go overseas. You don't try and, you don't try and go in more. You just
he
try
had a stint overseas, didn't he?
Yeah, he was at Toulon. Had a bit of a rough trot over there, different style. But I thought he looked comfortable in that 12 position. And then finally, they against the Highlanders.
Yes, the Landers.
The Landers, your
they
team.
Lost.
Jamie Joseph.
35-21 to the Landers.
That's the one, mate.
Pride of the South.
They're looking good. Smoky, I reckon, for that one.
Don't say that. No, they're not a
Smoky. I want to put the Mickey.
Nah.
Oh, the mocker on them, not the Mickey. And then finally, the Fijian Drua. They were looking for that away win.
This was actually your third Smoky, the Drua.
Was it? No, yes. I said if they're going to go deep into the competition, they're going to have to learn to win away from home. So,
and where was this?
Yeah, it was played in Whangarei.
Oh.
In New Zealand.
Against the Blues, yep.
Yeah, against the Blues. Look, the first 5 minutes, the Drua got off to a great start. 23 phases they put together. Our man, Isaiah Ravula, he was making his debut and he looked comfortable in that 10 position as a young 19-year-old. They were getting weak shoulders, getting quick ball, they were playing direct, but it sort of stopped there. The Blues were outstanding at finding, playing a little bit tighter. Their scrum, offloads, little pops, finding weak shoulders, and they didn't really swing it wide until they earned the right, until they shortened the Fijian Drua's defensive line. They swung it out wide and that's where they got their pay. And before we end on the rugby news, we had the Sevens circuit headed over in Vancouver. Samoa won 31-7 over Australia, which was a great result. Motu Opetai scored a double in that game, which led them into the quarterfinals against a red-hot Argentinian team and narrowly lost 14-12. So Argentina is on fire at the moment, and it was a great result for Samoa to get so close to them. Fiji... they lost to New Zealand in the quarterfinals, but they, even though they haven't been winning any titles or campaigns for the Sevens circuit, they still sit equal second with all those standings going towards the Olympics. And Samoa are just on that 8th, 9th position. Hopefully they can just break into that top 8 at some point soon.
Nation footy with Sam and T.
So, on to the real stuff.
Here we go.
Sam Smokey's done. On to NRL news, where I will start with the World Club Challenge, where last year's NRL champions, the Penrith Panthers, travelled to the UK to play last year's Super League champions, the Wigan Warriors. Mate, what a game. Did you end up watching this, Sammy?
I watched the comments on when I did have my phone.
I was going to say.
I saw the comments, not watched the comments. when I did have my phone, but no, I did see the controversy with the refereeing.
Yeah, well, to me, the game looked like a typical UK game, you know, where it's cold, the field quality isn't like it is here, it's very wet, it's slippery. You also have the short in goals because most fields are like catered to the football fields over there.
Oh, you use football too, not soccer.
Yeah, soccer, so yeah, English footy fields. Yep. So the in goals are a bit shorter, and the Panthers, I don't think they were used to it, so they chose to run the ball a lot on last tackles. And the crowd, mate, they were going crazy. The whole 80 minutes, chanting, singing songs, you know, that just adds to the atmosphere. And then, finally, you have the UK refs, which we'll touch on shortly.
you don't want to go there yet.
No, just not yet. Well, I'll talk about. I'll talk a little bit about the game before we go to a few of them moments. But yeah, if you can tell by the tone of my voice, the Wigan Warriors caused a huge upset, beating the three-peat NRL champions 16-12. Panthers started solid with some, great defense, just playing the Panther way, led by their forward pack, Moses Leota, James Fisher-Harris, and Yao Yi. But they forced Wigan to kick out of their own end a fair bit at the start of that game, only to tackle the Nijan backline, Brian To'o, Sunia Turuva, Isaac Tango, and Talon May, who has come back from an ACL injury, and he got injured this game last year against the Saints. So,
man, I thought you were going to say he got injured again.
No, he just come back from the injury.
Oh, mate, nice.
And going through an ACL injury myself, it's not a fun journey. It's a tough journey. So hats off to a man. He actually killed it that game. He's definitely in for a big season if he keeps playing games like that. So great work to Tiny. But to Wigan's credit, they held on, got gritty, made the Panthers get a bit frustrated. And Panthers made three errors that led to, Wigan tries. Territory is a huge component of the game when playing in UK. So you can't afford, just because of that weather, you can't afford to give penalties that invite them into your own half. And it was actually an Australian 5'8 that played for Wigan Warriors. Bevan French was outstanding. He was the star for their team. He got man of the match.
Ex-para? Para player.
Para, yep.
Yeah.
He played fullback wing, he's playing six over there. And I remember Brad Fettler here on the commentary was like, I didn't even know Bevan could pass that way, like pass both sides, had those kind of skills, and he had a good kicking game as well. So he had two try involvements in the three tries that they scored. But yeah, look, at the end of the day, there's always, if you go look at the socials, the refs are copping it. And not only from Australian fans and people here over in Australia or across the Pacific, even from the own English people over in the UK, they are giving it to their refs.
I'm no rugby league expert, but that looked like a double movement. In my mind, his momentum stopped and then he just went again. Is that how you saw it?
That's how I seen it. It was the 50-50 calls were always going to the home field, so Wigan. The first one was, that try where Wardle's gone, got tackled, missed the line and then sort of came back towards the line and then said, yeah, I scored. Brian To'o, man, he was funny. He said,
what did he say again?
Lying is a sin, and he knows he didn't get the ball on the line.
Yes.
But the ref had to make a call because the video ref goes on that decision if he can't get a visual of the ball on the line or not. So the ref's given it a try.
Benefit of the doubt, yeah.
And right at the end, you have Taylor May, similar scenario where he's gone for the line and the ref's gone no try, but you can't see the ball on the line or not on the line. So, the decision was made. And, the result was made from them decisions. So, great work, refs. But that's off the back of, they're copping it now only because of all the noise that is happening over in this UK Super League. We've seen our good friend of Nijan footy, Fa'amanu Brown, getting sent off for I've seen a funny comment. He got sent a red card for giving a hongi.
Hongi.
Have you seen the video clip?
No, I haven't.
Oh, mate.
Kissed him on the face.
So you pretty much kissed the guy on the face, like accidentally went into a tackle and then the nose touched the other guy's nose and then he's got a red card. And I think he was the captain for Hull FC that game as well. The rest are copping it. But well done, Wigan. I don't think they looked – Penrith didn't look like the dominant team on the night. It was a very, very close game and, Penrith shouldn't – they had their opportunities. They shouldn't have put it in the ref's hands. Now, off to Melbourne Storm versus the Newcastle Knights that was played over in Fiji at Churchill Park. Tui Kamikamitha and the Storm won this game, beating the Knights 28-10. The Storm were clinical to the build-up of their first try from Tongan Elisa Katoa, who rocked the Kava celebration after his four-pointer. This try was followed by another great piece of attack where PNG duo Trey Stewart set up Xavier Coates for a try in the corner. The Knights did have a few nice pieces or moments of the game. All their stars got rested after halftime, but we've seen last year's Dalian medalist Kalen Ponga making a break and setting up Bradman Best for a try. But I thought the moment of this game involves three Fijians. I'll speak about the first one, Jacob Safiti.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go there with this.
Yes. So Jacob Safiti, he hits Tuikamika Mitha off the ball late after his Big Tui's passed it. Now, Big Tui's looked up. He's seen another Knights player. So he's chased this Knights player, grabbed him, and caused this big,
a little hug in the middle.
In the middle where all the players get in. Meanwhile, while the cameras are watching this and the refs are trying to decide what's going on, Jacob's gone and subbed, snuck off and ran to the sideline, subbed with his brother Daniel. Daniel Sofiti's come on. The refs called Daniel over. He goes, mate. Oh, sorry, it was a girl. So she goes, Daniel, come here. Jacob's running. He goes, it wasn't me, it was my brother. And he goes, well, where's your brother? On the sideline. So she's called Daniel back onto the field just to send him off for 10 minutes. The old switcheroony. Got him a beauty.
Only in Fiji. You can only have those moments in Fiji.
And there were a fair few other games with some huge moments. I thought, you know, Justin Olam's big hit for the Tigers. Man, he's going to be a star for the Tigers this year. It's he's not skipping a beat moving from Melbourne to Tigers after that big hit that we've seen. And the Warriors, they look dangerous. You know, Roger Tuivasa killed it.
It's definitely his game.
And Dullin, we've seen Dullin streak away for another intercept try, trademark try of his. But with the Las Vegas games coming up, we're going to switch over and catch up with a couple of the boys straight from LA.
Nation footy.
We have Davey Mowali and Tane Milne from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Thank you for joining us here on Nation footy, lads.
Cheers. Sure.
Thanks for having us.
So, San Diego, is that where the camp is at the moment?
Yeah, that's where we're having camp right now. This is where our base is, and then we go Vegas on Wednesday.
How's it been over there? Have you just managed to go out, do some sightseeing? I've seen you boys at Kid Leroy's house.
Yeah, a couple of the boys were, Jaya and Cody. They spent some time with Kid Leroy. That was mad. Though it's good here. San Diego is a calm area.
Yeah, the boys just enjoying each other's company. We went to the Lakers game on Friday night. It was pretty like lifetime opportunity.
Yeah,
that was seeing LeBron in the flesh and that. One of the boys saw Chris Brown last night, so that was massive. We missed out, but we were in bed. So but obviously as the game comes closer, we're a bit more focused. But I think everyone's just enjoying their time, and there's a lot of things to do in California as well.
Have you managed to do any training while you've been over there? What's the fields like? What's the facilities like? Where have you guys been training?
Yeah, no, we've done a couple of sessions in San Diego, California.
The fields are quite smaller here, so. Well, once we get to Vegas, we'll be training at the Raiders' home ground, so that'll be pretty cool.
And have they told you that the fields are going to be smaller? Like when you play the game on the weekend?
Yeah, we prepared for it back home in Sydney. In our Heffron facilities, we made the field shorter during our training sessions. So I feel like we've become adept towards it already, but it'll be good for us.
Is there anything different from what yous will do here to over there, like things like food?
You know me, T. I love some food.
loves a snack.
It's hard not over consuming, however.
I am the consumer.
We had the chat with, you know, our team and the coaches to make sure that we weren't overindulging and picking our moments. So I feel like we've been doing well.
We got a weigh-in as well, so we got a weigh-in tomorrow, so we probably won't have dinner tomorrow.
It's always funny, the ones that weigh in with just their undies on, you know, they've probably overindulged a little bit. Russell Crowe, obviously the owner there, has he given you anything? I don't know, any special treatment for you guys to travel around in style over there?
Oh, I think he's just give us a good luck. I haven't just talked to him. I think maybe the big dogs, but probably big dogs.
How's JD been? What's he been like with you guys over there in the UK? US. Has he kept you on a tight leash, or let your boys off the leash a little bit early in your trip?
Yeah, as Tanya was saying earlier, we know when they switch on and switch off, and he gave us the weekend to relax and, you know, go sightseeing. And we checked out Vienna Beach, bro. It was mad.
That's sick.
Vienna Beach.
Why are you laughing, T? We went there. So it was pretty cool.
We appreciate you guys coming on Knees and Footy. Enjoy the rest of the week, and all the best this weekend against the Manly Seagulls.
Much love, boys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hi, it's Maima Dalfa. I'm on the Canberra Raiders. You're here listening to Knees and Footy.
All right, back from a week off. She is here, Shelley Long, for the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Shelley, I missed you last week.
What an intro. She's here.
Yeah.
She is.
Oh, wow.
No dig at her. Oh, my goodness.
Well, everyone knows she's the PNG Orchid star. She's our Cowboys NRLW legend.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we need like an attendance role for who's here and who's not here. Because if I'm not here... If I'm here, I swear one of you's two are on a vacation somewhere.
No, Shelley, please, mate. Look.
It does make sense. Hey, you've got a couple of days there. You're missing two.
No,
up.
I don't. Yeah, we'll find a way to make sure I'm here. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about me. I'm 100% attendance.
Anyway, so Shelley, enough about us. What's news in your life?
We didn't have a game this weekend. We've got the 2 weeks, so last week and this week we have off in preparation for our season kicking off next weekend. But we pretty much just got smashed. You know, on Friday afternoon, you're ready for the weekend, but you've got to roll up into training and you're like, okay, this is the last one. And then out comes the contact mat. It's raining here in Far North Queensland. The Echo bikes are right next to the con pad. And you're like, this is a tough session. And for me, it was the first time I've ever vomited.
Oh, yes.
So I'm picturing, so you got tackle mats, so you're in your runners, and then is it like contact straight on the bike, lactic build up, get off, straight into hits? Is that what I'm picturing?
Conditioning into contact.
So it was literally contact on the pads with no shoes. You had your shoes set up as if you were a triathlete going from station to station. Put your shoes on in a certain period of time, jump on the assault bikes, hit out your assault bike session, shoes off, straight back into the contact pads.
That's the best sessions.
Wow.
Those are the ones where the forwards love, because the outside backs love running, but then it's like when you hit the mats, the forwards like, yeah, this is our realm. So you earned that vomit.
Oh, 100%. I had to. I jumped off my bike. I think our last block on the assault bikes was 4 10-second sprints over 90 RPM.
Yep.
And I got off the bike and I went to put my hands on my knees just to get, you know, my breath back before I had to go back on the intercontact. I put my hands on my knees and I just felt this vomit come up into my throat. And I ran out of the room and I had to go over to the bushes for a little bit, race back into the bathroom, rinse my mouth out and go back into contact.
I was going to ask that. Are you a projectile spewer? Do you spew on yourself and keep going? But you've obviously painted the picture for us, because, yeah, we've had a couple of those moments, that's for sure.
That's the best. I love that.
I feel like those are character building moments, 100%.
Yep.
So last week you were absent, but they had the All-Stars game the weekend before, and you would have been there?
Yes, I went and watched. I supported the girls. Incredible night. Definitely the weather did not stop the attendance in the crowds. But I think with it being here in Townsville, you know, we seem to get the crowds for sure.
Yep.
But definitely a great night to celebrate both cultures. And the performances were also outstanding throughout the night. The girls, I thought it was really tough because it looked like the Maldives had prepared for a really sunny occasion, which North Queensland is known for. It's known for the heat. It's known for the sun. So they were trying to spread a lot of long balls, but to the weather conditions on the night, that wasn't as impactful. And you notice that the Indigenous team, they managed to roll down the middle quite well with those short balls and just looking back in behind the ruck.
Oh, I love that insight. What other news is there in the NRL world?
I don't have any news within the NRLW world at the moment, but I did actually have a conversation with my new coach over the weekend,
Ricky Henry.
Yes, he was the New Zealand women's coach, and he took them over to the world. He was their coach for the World Cup campaign.
How did that conversation go?
Yeah, it was really good. Previously, we have had a group meeting with him where he kind of told us a little bit about himself and about his career within rugby league. But to have those one-on-one conversations with your coach and build those relationships is definitely something special. And I actually have a lot of time for someone who asks me, what do I think my strengths and weaknesses are? What do I want to see myself long-term in rugby league doing? And asking me a lot of questions about myself, because, you know, there's not a lot of coaches that will actually take the time to ask questions about their players. They kind of look off Wikipedia, I think, sometimes, some of them, or do their research.
Yeah.
But he was definitely one who made sure to ask me things about myself that he didn't know. And when I talked to a few of my friends within the Cowboys playing group, they all said such similar things, that he took a lot of time in that phone call to really get to know that player without having to be there to know them.
So, well, it makes you feel valued, and you have your place within his squad. Did he ever share a bit about his philosophy and what you guys would be focusing on throughout the preseason leading into this season coming up?
He definitely said that one of his main goals is that our preseason should not be a conditioning season. It should just be, we should have that conditioning platform already in us, that fitness base, and we should just go into our preseason and be able to learn our skills and learn and develop as players in that preseason time. So I'm really hoping that everyone's working really hard. I know that they all probably are, but I'm just super excited that, you know, they say that. I do know that the coaches say that we're not getting flogged, but
you just told us you vomited on yourself. Oh, so it's contradicted.
You need to get that documented.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's good news that you've locked down your coach. We'll head over to some rugby news with the Sevens over the weekend and other news that has happened in our game. So what have you got for us there?
So Rugby Australia funding. Rugby Australia have entered the second phase of their increased investment into the Wallaroos. This increased investment is worth over $3 million, and it will be injected into the women's game, including both the Wallaroos space and the Super W competitions. That is exciting news for both competitions. So with the current tiering in the Wallaroos system, the investments will allow 23 players on the top tier earn up to $72,000 per year. That's outside of what they will earn through potential sponsorships and things like that. So that's incredible within that women's space, because previously I think it was 56,000 dollars was the maximum top tier earnings last year. So that's an incredible jump if you think about it. And only 15 contracts were offered last year. So they're already going up to 23 players in that top tier environment.
Yeah, I was going to say that it was a big increase from the 15 players that were fully contracted. And then the ones underneath that, the second and third tiers, there wasn't really much available for those girls. And then they don't really get much from Super Rugby. So the ones that are at the top of their game, it's heading in the right direction, but it still needs to be able to filter down and moving forward. But it's a good start.
10 more contracts have been made available to both of those tiers. So to all three of those tiers. So that's also incredible to know that more women can actually earn an income and a better income as well from playing rugby union, as well as that once-off payment, I think, is $4,000
for Super Rugby. Super W comes from that, and then there's another payment for their club footy. So I think it's somewhere between the $4,000 and the $10,000 mark, depending on what happens. But as I said, look, the main thing, it's heading in the right direction. it's been recognised, and so far, the way Rugby Australia is, there's some positive news coming out of the contracting side of things in the women's game.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it will help evolve the game if people know that they can get money for their time. That will definitely help increase the participation, because it is a real hard struggle for women who have to work trying to commit to being a full-time athlete in a part-time schedule. But jumping off of that, pre-season Super W games kicked off over the weekend with the Pinina Pacifica making history. Pinina Pacifica versus the Reds in their first ever game. It's an exciting time for the Pacific nations within the rugby union space, and definitely an incredible movement. We talked a little bit about Pinina Pacifica coming into that pre-season Super W competition, but for it to actually happen is an incredible moment. And I recently just looked on Instagram just before, and there was actually a comment that really touched me personally. It was about how a little five-year-old girl watched Pinina Pacifica play on the weekend, and she started crying, and she said that she wants to play for Pinina Pacifica. So already they have made so many movements within the Pacifica communities and within young women as well within the Pacifica communities.
It was very special. Like, their jersey presentation looked special as well. The amount of tears that were flowing down the faces of those players when they received their jerseys. It's special. And hopefully, moving forward, they actually enter into the Super W competition when it does expand. But for now, they'll play in the preseason games.
And over in Vancouver, the Sevens campaign kicked off again. Fiji had a tough competition, placing third in their pool, and in the quarters lost to Australia. However, their overall placing is still seventh, but remember, all tournaments are crucial for making the Olympics in Paris this year. Actually, I've got one more rugby league thing. The Queensland Emerging Camp happened over the weekend, with preparations kicking off for this year's three-game State of Origin. The preparation camp saw emerging and current State of Origin players come together over Saturday and Sunday. And the camp, combined with the BMD competition, will help select players for the first State of Origin game. So it's really great to see that throughout that camp, they're bringing a lot of the young girls in, showing them the ropes nice and early, so that hopefully one day they can be blooded as Origin players themselves.
All right. On that note, we'll cut it there. We really appreciate your time. We can't wait. You're going to be here next week, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, sorry. Just checking the attendance. Yes. Except last week. But no, I'm joking. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Shelley.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Culture Shock.
T, we are back with Culture Shock. I think last week, I really set the bar, didn't I?
Yeah, it was a
had
success.
To redeem ourselves.
Had some good feedback from your family.
Yeah, very good. Besides a couple of the pronunciations, the ta'uvala, the mat around, that was just the one bit of feedback from my wife. But in terms of education, learning about her own culture as well with a couple of family members, they learnt a lot from Anasani. So we really appreciate her time coming on. And I believe you've one-upped me here when we're going to talk about
Carver. Yes.
Beautiful.
So the culture shock today was an education session around Carver, and I thought that I would raise your guest with a couple of my DJ brothers, Fijian brothers from Western Sydney. We have Ironi Tara, and aka DJ Ronnie Snipes, and then one of the best DJs coming out of Fiji, Lesato Tara. DJ Bullets.
Yes,
welcome to Nijan Footy, boys.
Welcome, lads. Bulavanaka.
I'll start with whereabouts in Fiji are you guys from?
So we are from Vanua level. The village is called Ruanrua. It's a little island on the northern part of Fiji.
And so we're here talking about Carver. What is the history of Carver?
So the history of Carver, so it's been obviously originated from the South Pacific Islands, mainly used by Fiji, Vanuatu, Samoa, Tonga. Been used for over centuries until Europeans, I think, discovered it in the early 18th century.
So when is Carver used?
So Carver, we use Carver all the time, especially when it's like a traditional stuff, weddings, you know, birthdays, like real important family gatherings where everyone sort of come and, you know, we get together and socialize and stuff. Every village has their own different way of doing it. So in the particular way that we're used to, we just, the family would get, whoever's the head of the family would drink first. They would have that first cup.
Nice. And you spoke about the Fijian villages. What village has the strongest cover?
I want to say my village, but I don't think it's my village. From what I've heard, I'm pretty sure it's Kandavu. Kandavu cover is one of the best.
Yeah, I can attest to that. We had one of the Fijian players in that. I had a couple of with Kempisi Maafu and those boys. Never again with his brother Salisi. it wasn't for me.
I think it's important that we speak about how the cover is made.
All right, so first of all, you'd need one of these.
Oh, the cover bowl, yep.
We call it a tano, and you'd need the cloth. So this is where you put all the cover in. Back in the day, then they used to use coconut husks. Yep. So they used to use coconut husks. They'll have all the kava powder inside that coconut husk, and then they'll just mix it inside the water, inside the tanoa. But nowadays, you know, these days, you know, we're lucky enough to have a cloth where we put all the kava in, and then you sort of just mix it inside. You have all the kava inside the cloth, and then you just sort of mix it inside the water, and then all the flavor sort of starts to come out. And also, you need the kava cups as well.
Yeah. So
These are essential enough.
And the kava cups are coconuts for our listeners, coconuts cut in half.
Absolutely, yeah, they're coconuts. So funny story, though, I'll just quickly. So the tanoa, the reason why it's, and my uncle told me this years back when I was young, when I was just learning off these traditional kava stuff. So the tanoa, a traditional tanoa would have 8 legs. And what he said to me was, the reason why it was called a tanoa is because... what it represents, right? The 8 legs represents Noah. So this is how he explained it to me. He goes, the 8 legs represent Noah. So Noah, his wife, his 3 kids, and their 3 wives. the Tanoa, in Fijian, to explain it further, Tanoa means to sort of like build something. So Ta means like sort of like to cut down or like to build, right? If you were to interpret it. And Noah, which is obviously Noah. So Noah sort of, built the boat, which is what this kind of represents, a tanoa. So
oh, as Noah, in like Noah's Ark.
Noah's Ark, yeah, he's talking about Noah from the Bible.
Gotcha. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so Noah's Ark. So obviously the 8 legs, Noah, his wife, and 3 kids and their wives. Tanoa, which is what this is called. It was made by Noah, so built by Noah. And the cover inside represents the flooding that, you know, the famous flooding that we all know about.
Oh, I like it.
There you go. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
And just for the kava, so the kava is a plant that's crushed down into a powder, right?
Yes, that's correct. It's dried, so I think they plant it for like, some can go for like 5 or 6 years. Once it's fully mature, they'll pull them out, right? They'll pull them out and then they'll chop them up into like little pieces. Then they'll dry them out in the sun. So it can dry for like weeks. Once it's nice and dry and dehydrated, they'll pound that into like fine powder, and then that's when they put it into the cloth, and then they do the mixing and all that other stuff.
Is it like wine then? If the longer you leave it to dry out, the
more potent.
The more potent it is.
Absolutely, bro. The longer you leave it to grow, not so much to dry out. So if you have kava that's say you've harvested 3 years, and then you were to compare it with kava that you'd harvested within, you know, 5, maybe 6, 7 years. The one that you harvested later would taste more stronger than the one that you harvest earlier, so to speak.
What about, bringing it back to footy, the term recovery has gone viral. You know, to have it after a game, it relaxes them. How have you found that amongst, the footy culture now being so popular with kava?
I think it's good because of positive view on kava and how it's used. I used to drink it after my games and it just used to relax my body. And my muscles, especially during recovery. But, it's good to see.
Appreciate both of you guys, DJ Ronnie Snuts and DJ Bullets. We appreciate you two both. Thank you for sharing.
Set, boys. Vinaka
vakelevu. Vinaka.
Nesian footy.
Well, next week, knowing all our Nijin players, a lot of them rock Nijin tattoos, you know, the cultural tattoos, the tribal tattoos. So let's go diving into a bit of the history of the tattoo, and we'll start with the Samoan tattoo.
Okay, I need to find someone. Damn it.
Well, it all started, the trend started when SBW got the forearm. Well,
I'm pretty sure it started back with the Chiefs and stuff like that back in the day, well, not just with Sonny Bill.
Our footy players.
Beautiful.
So try and get Sonny on the show. All right, next week.
Sorry. Yeah, sweet. I'll ring up Sonny. If I did have my phone, I'll ring him up and get him on to explain it. That's my excuse. But thanks for that. I'll get that sorted. And up next, we have Lavinia Radhada, the very first female Fijian referee to officiate on the Seventh Circuit.
Kia ora, my name is Kiana Takairangi, and you are listening to Nijin Footy.
All right, T, what's your relationship like with referees or in the past on the field?
Not too bad. You know, as I got towards the end of my career, you know, when they're saying, T, get off, T, do this, T, do that, you know, you've been playing for a while. So we actually had a good relationship. What about yourself?
So you had a first name basis going with the refs. Well, that's good to hear. When I was coming through, a lot of coaches, a lot of players, they would always tell me that a good ref is probably like a unicorn. They don't exist. But however, that changed on the weekend of the 26th of January 2024 at the Perth Sevens, because we found our unicorn, Lavinia Radhada. She became the very first Fijian female to referee a professional rugby game over there on the Seventh Circuit. And she joins us here today to give us a bit of an insight on what her journey was like. And to be honest, I don't know why people would choose refereeing, but obviously we found a good one and I can't wait to hear her story. So Lavinia, Bula Vanaka, welcome to Nijin Footy.
Bula Vanaka.
How do you go at refereeing a game? Like with all the players out there in front of a lot of people, what's it like for you to referee?
I was nervous before I was there in time. I felt like I was freaking in Fiji and the big crowd was there.
So Lavinia, most people in Fiji would probably take up playing rugby, but you chose to go refereeing. Who inspired you to take up refereeing?
First of all, I was playing rugby before. And from there, I saw my fellow college, Merulu Nadeva, who was taking part in our game. And I challenged myself from there. Then I called my uncle and asked my uncle if I can be taking part as a referee. And he said, yes, you can come down to Lutok. And I went down to Lutok to start my referee career from there, 2016 till now.
Did you have to learn the rules of rugby that you didn't know? Did you learn anything new while you're training to be a ref?
Yeah. We have our training, and on top of that, we have to do our law development that can build up our law knowledge, and we have a law exam we have to attend.
You said the training was in Lautoka. Where is your home now? Where are you at now?
I was in Suvanau. I just came for the training. I'm training with the national team, the Fijiana team. After the training today, tomorrow then I will go then back to Lautoka.
Just going back to those village games, I can imagine that you would have had some cousins playing in those games. Did you ever have to send anyone off from your family in the game?
For me, when I was inside the field, I just ref the law. I never care about my cousin or mom.
Do you work as well, Lavinia, or do you just full-time referee?
Always work with the farm.
Okay. Tell us a bit about the farm. What do you do on the farm?
It's still the egg, the chicken farm. It's like a laying egg.
Well, Lavinia, I think, you know, from all of us here, we admire your journey and what you've done for the not only the women in Fiji, but I think women across the Pacific. Do you have one final message for any young aspiring girls wanting to be a referee? Do you have a simple message for them to follow your dreams?
Yeah. The young girls back in Fiji in the Pacific. If you want to come and join a referee, the door is open. If you can't play rugby, if you want to be a part of the rugby field, yes, you can come and join us, the referee family.
Yeah, absolutely. Nah,
beautiful. Well, on that note, yeah, we'll finish up there. We want to thank you for your time and joining us on Nijin Footy. We can't wait to see you hopefully one day referee at the Olympics or even in a World Cup. Binaka vakalivu.
Binaka vakalivu.
Nijin Knowledge.
Oh, Nijan Knowledge just had a quick look at the scoreline here. 3.5 to Sammy, 1 to Tino. It's uncomfortable, unfamiliar territory for you, is it, T?
Oh, confident, are we?
Nah, I'm just stating facts, just what's on the paper.
It's not how you start, mate. It's how you finish.
Yeah, it's a long time.
And
what are we playing for again?
Still playing for that tattoo.
Yeah, you should probably fix up my rubbish ones at the back. But anyway, let's go. Nijan Knowledge. Here we go. First question. The Storm played Newcastle in Fiji last week, correct?
Yep.
That's not the question. But Big Tui Kamakamitha went to his home village with Elikatoa and Nelson Asofa Solomona. Give me either the island or the village where Tui is from.
He is from Suva.
That's incorrect. He's from the island of Taveuni from the Somosomo village. I mentioned that earlier in our chat, Somosomo village.
Did you?
Yep. You obviously weren't listening.
No, I wasn't.
Well, there you go. That's where Tui's from. Anyway, Australian Schoolboys 2010 team. They played New Zealand and won. Are you 2010?
No.
Graduated? What were you, 9?
No, 7.
Oh, 7. They won 36-20. Which current NRL Nijan star was playing in the centres? Number 4 right centre?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter? Or anyway, which current NRL Nijan star was playing in the centres for Australia in that game? Like we mention him all the time. Like he's killing it.
All right, I need a moment here. 2010. Yeah, it's a year after BJ.
BJ Lelua's one?
Yeah,
it's after that one.
And he's current.
Yep, he's current.
Because BJ was the year before. He was 2009. I'm thinking of 2000.
Yeah, you just need to think of 2010.
Yeah.
Don't worry about 9. Don't worry about 11. 10.
The age. The oldest center. I'm going to have to go Valentine Holmes.
Oh, that's incorrect, my friend. The Hammer. Taboa Fido.
2010.
That's what it said. I screenshot it too.
Wow, nah, that's not right.
Look at it.
That is not right.
Aussie Schoolboys.
I'm telling you right now, that is not right.
Google it.
That is not right.
I screenshot it because I knew you were going to do this.
And me, so is not 2010. That is not right.
Hey?
He was born in like...
That's what it said on the Aussie Schoolboys website.
Mate, he's 22 years old.
Oh my... Shut the gates.
Miso, that's worth 2 points. What is that?
Oh, that's what it said on Google.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, give me some slack here.
You're trying.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that worth 1 or 2 points?
Nah, when you stuff I'll just give you one. Can we edit all this out? Because I'm sweating.
that's staying there. Wait, I want to know how old Hammer was in 2010.
Anyway, can we find out
what's... 22 years old. That's 13 years ago. He would have been 9.
As I said, that's how good he was. Anyway, let's move to the next one.
Three point.
Out the box, something different. There's 2 Pacific languages that are considered being endangered or being lost.
Ooh.
2 Pacific languages.
Yep.
Just give me one of them.
One of the two. Are they well known?
You would know them.
Can't be Tongan, can't be Cook Island, can't be Samoan, can't be Fiji, can't be Solomon Islands because there's so many Tok Pigeon. Everyone knows. Ooh, maybe Tok Pigeon.
Ooh.
Nah, it's not Tok Pigeon. I'm going to go with Niue.
Ding, ding, ding. Niue is one of them.
Oh, yes.
Niue is one of them. What the other one? Ratuman. Yeah, the Ratumans.
All right, that was good. I got 2 out of there. So the score is 3.5 and I'm on 3. What a catch up, and I will be up next week. But that's it for today in Nijan Footy.
Remember, there's recent chats that we've had with Lotte Tungiri, Sera Naguama, and plenty more Pacifica athletes that you can listen back to anytime, wherever you get your podcasts. See you next week.
Ka kite. See you on Friday.
Oh, Friday. Yes, Friday show. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.